This audio presentation is the teaching of Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled C+, Above Average, was delivered on May 8th, 2022. Here now is Jennifer.
Good thing coming from a man's point of view, right? Because you don't want to hear on Mother's Day, wives submit to your husbands, right? I get lickings. So, you know, over the years, we've had some faithful people come through, and I finally found one that sticks on Mother's Day, and she's been doing this for a couple times. So would you welcome Jennifer Arcatola with our Mother's Day message? And it's from a mother.
Good morning. All right, so happy Mother's Day, everybody. I am so happy to see all of you, and I'm honored and excited to be sharing today's message with you. And I'm not gonna lie, it's been a rough week. My family and I, we're all feeling really under the weather, so forgive me if I don't hug anybody or high five, it's just precaution. But all praise be to God, we're all mostly on the mend, and just as a further precaution, James is at home watching after the kids so I can be here today. Thank you, James. So, without further ado, I'd like to ask that we all bow our heads, close our eyes, and open our hearts as we pray over today's message. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Father. I thank you for our church. I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share your message. Father, I just ask that the words that come from my mouth be the direction that you destined me to go. Father, I ask that you take this message and let it resonate in the hearts and the souls of those here and those online. Father, I ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, as with any other message I've had the privilege of sharing with you, I spend a lot, and I do mean a lot of time, in prayer and also in doing research. I research the scriptures, their origin, their meaning, and of course the overall subject and meaning of the message itself. It takes me a really long time because, as I'm sure you found, there are so very many facets and deeper meanings into each scripture. Today's message is no different. The overall meaning and topic of the message itself is, of course, mothers. So today, I'm going to share just some of those very many facets of not just the scriptures, but also of our moms. Now, in Googling the Bible definition of the biblical definition of a mom, I read the following. Mothers in the Bible are depicted as honorable beings worthy of the love and respect of their children and the entire community. I further read that scripture teaches mothers to point children toward Christ by praying for them, modeling faith and character, and training them in wisdom. Well, there you go, short, sweet, to the point. Let's go home. We all pow. Not quite. You're not getting off that easy. Now, I'm sure you've all at some point heard the saying that raising a child takes a village. Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. There is no way that any of us would have ever been able to raise our children without first and foremost God, but also without all of the love, guidance, and support from all of you, not just the moms, everybody. Our church, our village. Google answers the question of what is a mom as women who inhabit or perform the role of bearing some relation to their children who may or may not be their biological offspring. So this just furthers my point that it does, in fact, take a village, and I am just so very thankful for each and every one of you, not just the moms, but the aunties, the grandmas, but also the dads, uncles, and grandpas, too, that need to be both. Today I'm going to cover just a few of the attributes of a mom that I feel God wants me to thank all of you for. Your first point this morning is thank you for being courageous. There are so many feelings that we as moms endure behind the scenes, but you'd never know it by the way we look or speak or act. We're pretty good about smiling through the turbulence. It is utterly impossible to be a mom and not have faith, trust, and hope in God. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This verse is one of great encouragement, and it's an everlasting promise that God will be with you always. In the last few months of 2021, Pastor Scott had put it out to the church that our church was in need of a leader for our youth ministry. He asked us all to pray about it and if we had heard from God and were willing to come and see him. I prayed about it, waited upon God's direction, and even after he told me go like 3 times, I still never listened. And eventually, I went and talked with Pastor Scott and let him know I, in fact, was willing. I was asked to come to a meeting to discuss, I suppose, what would be my expectations as a youth leader. And at this meeting, Pastor Scott said something, and it was something that I thought I had already knew. Well, so I thought. But something that I would soon find out firsthand to be truer than true. He said, "Now that you have said yes, be aware and know that you will be attacked." Now, like I said, this was something that I thought I already knew. But he continued on and further reminded me to remain in the Word and pray unceasingly. I don't say this or repeat this to discourage any of you in any way, but rather to encourage you. We all know that when we choose to die to ourselves in some area and replace that with something of and for God, or choose God's direction over that of our flesh, we get attacked. The devil is selfish. He's evil, and he wants to keep you under his thumb. He is the ultimate oppressor. Now, just days into the beginning of my role as youth leader, January 4th to be exact, I had went to the doctor to check on a lump that I had found 2 days prior on the 2nd. The doctor checked it and said he was very concerned and wanted me to get a mammogram and an ultrasound as soon as possible. But due to scheduling, he said it may take a week or so to even get scheduled. As I'm sure you can imagine, my husband and I were already deep in prayer. But as a mom, as much as we want to just say, "Oh, I know God got this, we're going to be okay." As a mom, it's hard for us to kind of separate, like, you know, what if something happens to me? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? Who's going to take care of that? It was surreal. The thoughts that ran through my mind were surreal. And I thought about my husband, my children, my family, and my friends. I thought about the youth ministry, the women's ministry, all of my sisters and brothers in Christ. And as mom, the list just kept going. And although every single fiber of my flesh wanted me to curl up in a ball in a dark corner and cry, I refused to let the devil win. Amen. That same evening, I got a call saying that they were squeezing me in the next morning, which was January 5th. For these tests. Thank you, Jesus. I went to the scans that next morning, and as soon as they were done, I did the same thing that we all do when we get an x-ray, an MRI, anything. We asked the tech, "So what, you saw anything?" "So what? What the thing was positive, huh? Negative." But you know, and we all get the same answer. "Your doctor will call you in 2 to 3 days and give you the results. I kind of give you..." Okay. So, like he said, "Oh, the doctor's going to call you in 2 to 3 days with the results." So I went back to work that day, still in prayer. A few hours go by, and I get a call from my doctor saying that I'll need a biopsy as soon as possible. I was at work, scheduled my flight, and of course it was last minute, so I had no choice. I went by myself. I flew to Oahu the next day, had the biopsy, did the same thing, told the guy who took it out, so what, you saw anything? And he told me, you gotta wait for your doctor. After I asked him the third time, he said, for real, you gotta wait for your doctor. I went home, still in prayer. I enjoyed a beautiful dinner with my family, tried not to think about it, prayed, and slept a very peaceful sleep that night. Now, as I recovered at home the next morning, I prayed for God's comfort and awaited the results. And I remembered skimming through my Bible and reading Isaiah 41:10, where it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that he did. Because no sooner did I read this scripture did I unexpectedly receive a call from Kaiser Breast Care Team. Now the devil will have you thinking that a call back so quickly can only mean bad news. Well, you see, the devil's tricks are great, but the plans and purpose that God has over all of our lives is always so much greater. Amen. The lump was benign, and there was no sign of malignancy. Amen. A mother's courage, thank you. A mother's courage is like no other. Almost like how Ross on Friends describes the state of Unagi. As a state of being, courage is not something you can learn. It is something that is within us, all of us, and is activated and enhanced by the complete reliance on and trust and faith in God. As your second point this morning, thank you for being compassionate. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. This is just part of Paul's message to the Corinthians, yet it is so impactful in that it describes yet another attribute of a mom. Here Paul encourages the people of Corinth to live in a new way. Through the cross and resurrection, Jesus' followers can live differently and model generosity, humility, and yes, compassion. The very word compassion literally means to suffer together. It is further defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. This scripture teaches us that just as we are to suffer together, we are also to find comfort together in Christ Jesus. I get reminded of this often, not just as a mom, but for that I am grateful. Now, at any given day at work, I encounter children of all walks of life who have somehow or some way come into purview of the law. Some due to their own actions and choices, and others due to the choices of those around them. The probation officers who work in my office remind me of what it is truly to be a mom. Besides the one guy, because he's a dad, but anyway. Actually, there's two guys, I'm sorry. They are some of the greatest advocates I know and are true examples of compassion. They have the courage to stand in the gap and the conviction to fight for what each child needs and deserves, just like a mom. Their level of compassion is one that is only earthly comparable to that of a mom's. If I have learned anything from working there and by being a mom, it is this. No matter what someone, and not just children, anyone, has done or will do, we are one and the same in that none of us are perfect. At best, we are above average. We are to have compassion and suffer with them. Along with this, regardless of what has happened or will happen, we are to mirror what Jesus commands us in John 15:12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Your third point this morning is thank you for being caring. Now, in true fashion, a message shared by me wouldn't be the same if I didn't pick on James just a little bit. That is love, thank you, whether he knows it or not. Moms have a way of perceiving what needs to be done, and we take great care in making sure that everyone in our house, not just the kids, has what they need when they need it. Colossians 4, verses 5 to 6 say, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Now, on any given day, I'm the last to get home, but I can literally reenact each person's steps as they walked into the house when they got home that day by the trail of items that is left behind. My husband, God bless him, is notorious for leaving his socks everywhere, and I mean everywhere. We have found his socks outside, in the truck, on the truck, in my car when he never even ride in my car, in the living room, in the armrest, in the corners of the couch, every place. 13, 14 years still, every place. Now, as moms, we try our best to teach our children how to put things where they belong so that when you need it, you know where to find it. Every morning, James wakes up at old dark 30 and goes through the same routine while getting ready for work. He usually leaves around 5 or so to go and do devotions. So I'm usually still asleep because I don't need to get up to get ready for work until about 6. Every morning, just like clockwork, before he leaves, I hear him open his drawer and start complaining about how he cannot find his socks. And he says the same thing every morning. "I just bought a pack of socks. Where's the 12 pairs of socks that was in the pack? I cannot find any socks." Well, I used to get up each morning after I heard this and help him find his socks, which is exactly where I put it, where they belong, without saying a word. Now, years later, after saying the same thing 400,000 million times, I roll over and I say, "If you put them where they belong, they would be there when you need it." And I go back to sleep. So some days he get one long sock, one short sock. Some days he get normal socks. It's not my problem anymore. One day after work, I went to Ross to find James. Yes, more socks. As I put my items on the counter to pay the cashier, he says, "Hi, ma'am. Are you part of our Tuesday club?" Mind you, this was about a year ago, and I had just decided to let my hair go and not dye it anymore. Now, being a frequent shopper at Ross, I was excited that there was a club. I didn't know what it was yet. So I asked him, "Well, what kind of club?" Thinking that it was like a points thing where, you know, I would earn points and get more discounts later. But, you know, like my CAE or something, I don't know. Apparently that wasn't the case, because he proceeded to tell me, no, it was their senior citizen club. See what I'm saying about being seasoned with salt? Because I didn't know what to say, but I realized that it was because I had stopped dyeing my hair, and, you know, yeah. But I may as well get used to their questions if that was the path that I was going down. So I calmly and politely said, "No, I'm not. But thanks, yeah." It wasn't until this gentleman persisted in asking me repeatedly after that if I was sure I wasn't part of this club. As I stood there thinking about that scripture and being very careful of the words I chose to say, I thought of yet another scripture. Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, let your light, not your fist, shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Had I let her out of the box, BC Jennifer would have ripped him a new one. Instead, I chose this as an opportunity to show this person grace and make the most of this opportunity to share God's love with him. I answered him one last time, saying that I was 39 years old, but also made sure to thank him for trying to help me save money that day. I could see the mortified look on his face after he realized his mistake, but I continued to tell him thank you again and wished him a great rest of his day. Still 10% less rich. There are so many times in our lives that we are confronted with situations like these where our flesh urges us to act in a way that is not honoring of our Heavenly Father. We must remember to always be on the alert for these moments and to choose to be the salt that seasons our children's lives and the lives of others. We need to shine the light that leads them to the path that Christ has created for their lives. Not much has changed as far as the socks are concerned in my household. I still get asked if I'm in the club. I don't know how my choices that day may have changed that cashier's walk, but I can take comfort in the fact, as should you, that I listened to my Father rather than my flesh that day, and for that I am glad. Your fourth point this morning is, thank you for your self-sacrificing confidence. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'" There will come a time in our lives as moms that we will undoubtedly feel anxious and overwhelmed. We will encounter situations that will seem to push us to our wits' end, and trust me, I have been at this point more times than any one of us can count. Especially this past week, my husband is grouchy when he is sick. But it is in those very moments that God reminds us that in and through all things, His grace is sufficient for us. Where we run out of gas is where He fuels us up. Where we seem to lack is where He excels. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We can do nothing without Him, but everything with Him. Our weaknesses are His strengths, and perhaps the thorn in our lives may actually be ourselves. The solution to this comes down to a choice. Choose to get out of your own way, placing your complete confidence and trust in God, in and through all things, having full confidence not in ourselves or in our own abilities, but rather in the plan that He has set out for your life. Your last point on this beautiful day is, thank you for your consistency. Just like with my constant reminder to James to put his socks where they belong, Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary," but I'm telling you, I'm tired, "in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." God reminds us to never give up. Be the broken record. Be the squeaky wheel, because sooner or later your child will see the purpose, reap the benefits, and experience the results of what you've been instilling in them all along. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Lastly, but certainly not least, none of us are perfect. We all fall short. But like the author Jill Churchill once said, there's no way to be a perfect mother, but there are a million ways to be a good one. You are all doing an amazing job, definitely above average. And I am so very thankful and grateful to all of you for being exactly who you are. Happy Mother's Day.
What a wonderful message. Thank you, Jennifer. Maybe we should give James Father's Day so he can get you back. Yes. We'll have to do Father's Day of 2023 because he takes longer to write messages. James, pick up your socks. Okay? You're going to hear it from the rest of the men's ministry this Saturday. I think they might just bring socks and throw them at you, but... There you go. And it's a good thing it's his socks and not... You said it. And you know what? They don't ask me to join the club. They just give me the senior discount. And it's like, wait a minute. I'm not that age yet, but... Yeah. All right. Thank you. Give Jennifer a hand. All right. So... we're going to stand and sing, and if you didn't get your Mother's Day bento, be sure to get it now, because if you don't get it now, the rest is going to be up for the guys who didn't get the non-mothers. All right, so take it away, worship team.
All right, great message, Jennifer. Yeah, as we know, oh, James is going to get bossed up now with socks. He's going to have more socks than you know what to do with. I want to sing.
You've been listening to Jennifer Arcatola of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.